This morning, we're going to start a new series that I'll be looking at for the next few weeks. And I've called it, the image is not very clear, Love, Relationships, and Marriage. Love, Relationships, and Marriage. Now, some of these things might apply to you directly, and it might not. But I want us to really open our hearts to really see the points that I'm going to be making this morning, because even if it doesn't apply to you directly, you have people around you, maybe your nieces, your nephews. Some of it will apply to someone you know, and you can give them good advice. All right, so I'm looking at what I've called love, dating, and marriage. Today we're going to start off with dating. But before I go into that, I believe that relationships, at least in the younger generation now, is so important. And even for people who are married, as we will look at, you know, in the coming weeks, it is so important because the relationships we get involved with, the romantic relationships that we get involved with, have a great impact on our lives. And the reason why it has such a great impact on our lives, because the romantic relationships we get into, they affect the three aspects of a human being. They affect our bodies, our soul, and our spirits. So what do I mean by that? If you have a friend, you know, just a casual friend, yeah, maybe you care about them up to an extent, that's your soul. If you haven't, you went to, say for example, secondary school with someone and you guys were friends, yeah, they're your friends and you care for them to a certain extent. So that's the soul part of your body, of your being. But marriage involves every fiber, or should I say romantic relationships, it involves every fiber of the human being. It touches every aspect of you. That is why if one doesn't pay attention to that, or one doesn't make the right choices, it can have such a big impact on an individual. So looking at relationships is very important, and we do this as a church at least once a year, sometimes twice, because it's so important. So that's the first thing I want to mention, that it's quite important that we note that. So we're talking about relationships this morning. We're talking about dating. And if you've been visiting the shops now around, you see loads of Valentine cards. Now, you go into every shop, it's like Valentine and all that, because the 14th of February is coming. So what you will see now is a lot of young people and even adults who are buying Valentine cards, and they're, you know, really preparing and all that stuff. So relationships are a very, or should I say, the realm of relationships is very, very important, even as people go about doing their Valentine's thing. So the second point the first point I made was like an introduction to say that relationships are very important because they impact us in a very deep way. Now, the second thing I want to mention here is this. God understands that as an individual, you might have, that individuals have the desire for companionship and intimacy. So God knows that as human beings, oftentimes we don't want to be alone. So the second point I want to make is that God understands that as human beings, you know, we have desires to be with people. We have the desire for companionship. God hasn't made us an island. So God doesn't want us just to function as individuals all through our lives. That's why we have groups. We have the church. You have friends. So people need other people. So from a relationships perspective as well, God understands that, look, for a young man or young woman or someone who's growing up, at some point in your life, you will have the desire to be with someone. So God understands that, and that's the way that God has created us. Do you understand? And if you look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, it says, "The Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So God begins to say here that, look, it's not good for an individual to be alone. So God recognizes that as well. When he says it's not good for the man to be alone, he's talking about mankind here, not just Adam, mankind. So even God says, look, it's not good for you to be alone. So God understands that as a human being, you have the desire to not want to be alone. Do you know that in prison, the highest form of punishment is something called solitary confinement? So when a prisoner misbehaves, they don't say, you're not going to get your dinner for 2 weeks. They don't do that. They give them their dinner. They don't say, we're going to make sure you don't. The highest form of punishment in prison is solitary confinement. So if someone does something really aggravating and they say, well, how can we punish this individual? They isolate them. They put them in solitary confinement. They do not talk to any other human being for weeks. The only thing they will receive is maybe their lunch and their dinner and all that. So what am I saying here? God understands that as humans, we have the desire for relationships. So he gets that, and he's not against that at all. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'll read verses 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. But it says, pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, it says, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. It says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So the second point I'm making here this morning is that God understands, you know, people's desire to want to be with someone. So it's not a bad thing. Do you understand? And the reason why I'm making this point is this. Often, you know, there are times that as a church, I'm not saying this church, I'm just saying the church locally, the church globally sometimes, when the issue of relationship comes into the question and people are asking, oh, so oftentimes people just click back to, what? Relationship? Make sure you don't do this before marriage. Make sure you don't do this before. Make sure you don't do that. We get that. But we want to look at it from another perspective to start with that. Look, if you have this desire, it's not a problem to start with. God understands that. Do you understand? God understands the desires that everyone has. And the interesting thing is that God is the one that put that desire in you. True. God is the one that put the desire in you as a human being. So it's not the question of having the desire that is wrong or having the desire that's the challenge. It is, how do you deal with that desire? Do you understand? So the second point I'm making is that God understands that we want to be with someone, you know, you want to maybe get married, you want someone to take care of you, or you want to take care of someone and all that. God gets that. And he's the one that has put that desire in every human being. So the third point I want to make this morning is this. How do you deal, I'm saying when I say you, I'm talking about people, how do you deal with that desire where, okay, an individual wants to be with another individual, maybe a guy is like, okay, there's a girl I like, and he's like, you know, yeah. Or there's a girl, I like this guy and all that. So how, you know, how does one deal with that? Well, I'm going to start from the angle of 21st century pop culture. When I say pop culture, popular culture. How does popular culture deal with that? Where, all right, you want to be with someone and all that. What's the process? So everybody now, when I say everybody, I'm talking about popular culture, knows that, look, I can't just grab someone off the streets. This is not like medieval times where you can just kidnap someone and make them your wife. I think I was watching one history channel, and in this tribe, I think they were I'm not going to my history, my history mode, but I will anyway. I was watching this, so they were talking about this tribe. What are those guys, the 300 people that stood against the whole Persian army? I've forgotten the name of the tribe. And do you know the way that the guys in that tribe, Sparta. Do you know the way that they, started relationships with people, or how they proposed to people they wanted to get married to? Let me tell you. They didn't go to their parents and say, I like that your daughter. No. They didn't even approach the person who they were interested in to say, hi, how are you doing? And all those their lines that they use. Do you know what they did? They just snuck up and they said, okay, I like that girl. And they will kidnap the girl. True. Look it up. They will go grab the girl and take her home. Now, if the girl, so they wouldn't violate her or anything. They would just grab her. Now, if the girl didn't like them, this was the way she expressed her dislike. She will fight back, uppercut the guy, and really fight the guy. So if the guy could, overcome her resistance and grab her and take her home, once she lands in his house, the fight has finished. She has become his wife. But if she didn't want that relationship, she would fight and all that. I said, no, I'm not, Then if the guy couldn't, then he would go. That was how they did it in Sparta. No conversation at all. I don't even know why I'm talking about that. it's not really matters to this conversation. But what I'm saying is this, which is the third point. Every culture has a way that they will get into a relationship with someone. In Sparta, that was how they did it, and it was accepted to them. Now, in popular culture, a guy sees a girl and all that. What popular culture goes through is something called, dating. So people will date to, check the person out. Say, okay, is this the kind of person that I want to get involved with? I don't know why some people are smiling, and I'm not going to look in any direction. So it's dating. So I got a dictionary definition of dating. I mean, we know what dating is, but I just want to really break it down from an analytical perspective. So I got this from Wikipedia, by the way. It says, dating is a stage of romantic relationships in which two individuals engage in an activity together, most often with the intention of evaluating the other's suitability as a partner in a future intimate relationship. That's the dictionary definition. So what the Wikipedia definition is saying is that when people are dating, or the whole thing about dating is assessing the other person's suitability. That's why when you watch all these films and all that, and they show people dating, or now that there's Valentine's Valentine thing in the air, the guy is on his best behavior, usually. Why are you laughing? It's true. Maybe he goes, picks up the girl that he's dating before she opens the door. He runs there. Oh, no, let me open the door. And the girl comes out when she wants to sit down. So what that guy is doing is that he's putting his best foot forward. He's been really nice so that the girl will say, yeah, this is the guy for me. And maybe for the girl as well, maybe normally if someone said a bad word to her, she would you know, shout and slap the person, but on a date she would like be really calm. So it's almost like it's a process where everybody is assessing, okay, is this person right for me? Is this the kind of person that I would like to be with? So that's what popular culture, the culture that we're in now, 21st century, that's how people assess other people. So it's like watching that person, okay, this person, let me see how this person is behaving, are they, would they, you know, and all that. So that is the process that popular culture uses now in terms of fulfilling the desire to want to be with someone. So why am I analyzing dating like Pastor Benson? I mean, this is obvious, you know, all these things, they show them in movies and all that. And so why are you discussing all this? Well, I just want to set the stage for something here. What I want to look at is this. If you look at the dating process now in the 21st century, we want to look at the the success of that process in helping an individual determine if someone is right for them or not. And what are the shortfalls? So, like I said today, I just don't want to say this. Let us look at everything critically together and let us come to a conclusion. So that it's not just going to be me that is saying, oh, this is how you date. The Bible says this. The Bible says that. No. I don't want to go through that. Let us look at everything together and collectively come to a conclusion. So I've described that dating is popular culture's way of assessing, you know, you assess someone that you like and all that. Am I saying it's bad? No, I'm not saying that. But I want us to look at it from a popular culture's perspective. Let's leave God out of the dating thing for now. We'll come to God's views in a minute. But let's look at some of the things that happen when people just depend on themselves alone to make the choice. So when I'm saying dating in this context, I'm talking about making the choice by yourself, using your own knowledge, your own views to pick a mate and putting God by the side, just you or just an individual. So I've described what dating is, but I want to look at the success criteria, the impact of dating, looking for a mate on your own or on one's own. What is the success criteria? What's the impact? And the reason I'm saying this is this. I want us to look at it critically and look at the effect that it has on an individual. So that if anyone is planning to date or you know anyone that is dating and they come to you, you can outline what it's actually about. Do you understand? So, I want to look at three things. So this is the fourth point that I'm going to make. I'm going to make 5 points this morning. So the fourth point is this. Dating, and like I said, relationships affect every single part of you. It affects your spirit, it affects your soul, and affects your body as well. So huge impact. So three things I've noticed about dating is this, and I'll outline some of them. Often, dating, I'm just making a general point here. Often, from popular culture's perspective, when people go through the dating process and they eventually pick someone that they like, it's usually for a short period. Well, let me not say short. It's usually for a limited period of time. What do I mean by that? When a 16-year-old sees another 16-year-old, they're both in school, right? And he says, oh, I like that girl. And he goes and he buys a Valentine card for her. He's nice to her and all that. He's not thinking of marrying her at that point. He's just thinking, I like this girl. I want to be with this girl. So it's for a short period of time. Maybe a year, maybe two, if it's very long. Oftentimes as well, let's even take it to adults. For a lot of adults, and I can say this across continents. For a lot of adults, now remember, this is just, we're looking at core dating. For a lot of adults, when they see someone that they like, oftentimes, the first thing at the back of their mind is, wow, I really like this person. And there's nothing wrong with that, like I said. But the eventual period that they date someone for, or that they have a relationship with someone for, is limited. Oftentimes, it doesn't lead to marriage. It might be a year, it might be 2 years, it might be a few months. So the first point I want to make here is this. Because oftentimes people do not go into dating with the view of marrying the person, it usually has a short time span or a limited lifespan time span. And when breakup happens between an individual and another individual that have been together for a period of time, something happens. And a lot of songs have been written about this. It is called heartbreak. It is called heartbreak. Now, in the 60s, I wasn't born in the 60s, by the way, there were a lot of hit songs, popular songs about heartbreak. In fact, in those times, because I watch all these historical things. There were a lot of hit songs about heartbreak. And you see a lot of songs about, oh, the girl left me and my heart is something, something. Loads and loads of songs around heartbreak. And what is heartbreak? Because dating is usually, entering into a relationship from a dating-only perspective is usually limited. People go through something called heartbreak when that relationship ends. I've seen people that, I think there was a story I gave once. I went to visit someone, a family friend of ours. This was a long time ago. I must have been about 13 or so. And when I was, you know, we're there, we're all talking. I now noticed that there were pictures of our older sister. I think the older sister was like years older than we were, maybe like 7-10 years older than we were. And we're looking through some albums, and I noticed that some of the pictures in the albums were ripped. Like ripped. So I was like, what's this? This girl now said, oh, the part of the pictures that are ripped are the picture of her older sister's boyfriend who they had gone out for maybe about 5 or 7 years or something, and the guy just turned up one day and he said, sorry, I'm no longer interested. And she was so heartbroken that she went through the house, everything the guy had ever bought her, bin, every picture that she ever took with the guy. If the guy was in a picture, she would scrape the guy's face out of the picture. And I think she said never again will she get involved in a relationship. She was heartbroken. Heartbreak. Now, someone might say, what's the big deal? I mean, come on, people, it happens. So, I mean, yeah, you know, big deal. The big deal is this. There is something that heartbreak does to an individual that they're not aware of. So you have a young 16-year-old boy and girl, has one girlfriend, another girlfriend, and they break up. Something begins to happen to the heart of that individual that they're not aware of. It begins to alter them emotionally. I'm telling you. It begins to alter those individuals emotionally to the point where certain things begin to close up in them. And they might not be aware of it. Why? Because if someone punches your face and they get you the first time and you're in a boxing match and they want to punch your face again, what do? You flinch and you like... So something begins to happen to the soul of an individual who goes through heartbreak repeatedly. Their heart closes up and they might not be aware that their hearts are closing up. If you look at Proverbs chapter 18 verse 14, Proverbs chapter 18 verse 14, it says, "The human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear?" So it says that there is something about the human spirit that when it is crushed repeatedly, when someone goes through heartbreak repeatedly, it crushes their spirit. And unless that person is aware that, look, this is what this thing has done to me, they might find that eventually when they find someone, maybe they even get married eventually and all that, I'm just using this as a generality. They might not really be able to give all of themselves in that relationship subconsciously, because it's just like, how about if this person leaves? And something in them clamps up. Something in them clamps up. And in fact, let me read something here that I got. This is not even the Bible. This is like from my research about heartbreak. It says, a broken heart, also known as heartbreak or heartache, is a metaphor for the intense emotional stress or pain that one feels at experiencing great and deep longing. The concept is cross-cultural, often cited with reference to the unreciprocated lost love. Failed romantic love can be extremely painful. People with a broken heart may succumb to depression, anxiety, and in more extreme cases, post-traumatic stress disorder. So when you come across people sometimes and you're talking to them and like, this my husband, the guy is this, the guy is that, or this my wife, she's this, she's this, she's that. And suddenly you kind of like sense that, what is really going on here? This thing that this person has done to you is not really, I mean, it's not really a big deal. And this thing that this person has done to you, it's not really a big deal. What is really going on here? And you now realize that that person, in not all cases, is, how should I put this? Experiencing something that what that person did. Okay, let me rephrase this. That person is triggering something in them that happened years ago. And you see people who burst out in anger, like, this guy, you don't love me. And the guy's like, hang on, what's happening here? And the person doesn't know that what they're actually doing is that something is in their heart that they're reacting to, and they're not aware. So, heartbreak does a lot to people, and it affects relationships along the way. So, there are times that people are not conscious, and it's like, look, really, you know, this is what is actually happening to you. So, you can imagine someone who is 16, who is 17, who has had several boyfriends and several girlfriends and broken up. I mean, come on, by then they're in their 20s. A lot would have happened and they will not be aware that they're actually carrying about loads of pain. So, how did we get to this? I'm talking about dating here. And I'm just bringing to our awareness some of the deeper things that it does to an individual that they're not aware of. It's usually short-lived. I'll make a couple of points and I will stop. Now, the second thing I want to mention about dating is this. This is from a biblical perspective. It opens an individual up to sex before marriage. I tell you. Now, so what popular culture promotes is this. If you love someone, in quote, and you're not married to them, as long as you love them, it's okay to sleep with them. If you love them, what's the big deal? Well, there's a big deal. Let's put aside the fact that God is not happy with that. From the Bible perspective, God calls it fornication or adultery. But let's put that aside. And what does sex before marriage do to an individual? I can give you so many consequences. But I'll read a couple here. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 32 says something. It says, a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. So God begins to say, look, let's put aside that adultery is sin. Anyone who engages in sex outside of marriage, the Bible says that person doesn't know what they're doing. They are destroying themselves. They're destroying their souls. So you see an individual like, oh, yeah, I have like 30 girlfriends and all this, and they're cool with that. The Bible says that that individual doesn't know what they don't know what they're doing. It says they are actually destroying their soul. And I'm going to explain one or two things and we will close. Now, I said that. Okay, let me read one thing here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says here, do you know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become flesh. So the Bible uses an example here, and it says that anyone, a man and a woman, who sleeps with another person that they're not married to, they are joined together in spirit. What's the big deal about that? I'll explain in a moment. Do you know? Now, I'm just going to say this generally as well. Do you know that if someone sleeps with another person that they're not married to, right, that person has a certain kind of access to, they have access to each other in a spiritual way? Okay. What I mean by that is this. Say, for example, you're a Christian, right? God loves you. God loves me. Now, from a spiritual perspective, once you're a Christian, I'm talking about from the Christian perspective now, once you're a Christian, God protects you. When the devil tries to do anything to you, he will shield you, he will protect you and all that. But when an individual who is a Christian goes and has sex with someone outside of marriage, what happens is this, that person, that Christian opens themselves up. Now, if the person that individual has sex with outside of marriage is, say, for example, a witch, that witch understands that as a Christian, and they do this quite a lot to people who are, okay, let me just say something. So, like, I'm a pastor now, right? And I lead this church, I pray, and all that. And like, God, you know, God, do this, help this person, so on and so forth. So the devil knows that, well, really, as a child of God, he can't get you as a Christian. He cannot. Even if you make a mistake here or there, he can't really get you. Now, what happens sometimes is this. If someone who is in the occult says, okay, we want to get this guy. We need to get this pastor guy, or we need to get this guy that is such a, you know. What the occult will do is that they will send some, well, not let me say they will send, they will ensure that this individual sleeps with one of them. And they know that if you sleep with someone that you're not married to, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a Christian for 30 years and all that, they have access to you. Basically, you are in the trap of the devil with that, because they can manipulate you. They can cause you to have aggressive thoughts. They can cause you to have all sorts of feelings that you're not supposed to be having. They can even manipulate your mind. Now, so what am I saying here? I'm not going to go into detail. There's so many examples. There was this man in our London church. This man used to go to the church in London and all that, and suddenly they didn't see him. And our senior pastor, this was a long time ago, went to search for him, and he found the man wandering on the streets of London. The guy was half insane. What happened to this man? Someone who had been coming to church, who had been, you know, he was walking around London half insane. Do you know what happened? There was someone who wanted to just destroy this guy. Do you know what they did to him? This lady came, slept with the guy, and from there began to manipulate the guy's mind till he went half insane. So I don't want to go into details of that, but what I'm just saying is that when the Bible says that a man who commits adultery has no sense, he doesn't know what he's doing, there's so many spiritual implications of this. So when you see people going out on dates and all that, and they end up sleeping with one another and all that, and you know how the movies nowadays, they say, oh, they're in love and all that. There are grave consequences. Grave consequences. So we're saying that dating, from popular culture's perspective, is a way of getting someone that you like. However, there's certain things that we need to bear in mind. One, if a relationship from dating is just a short period and it doesn't lead to marriage, then the folks involved will suffer heartbreak, and it has consequences. From a spiritual perspective, it destroys, you know, sleeping with someone that you're not married to, it destroys the soul of an individual more than they can ever know. And I'll look at one more thing. Dating outside of God's participation can also lead to the destruction of an individual's life. I'm not going to read this, but if you just know Judges chapter 16, verses 4 and 6, and Judges chapter 16, verses 18 to 22, there was a man called Samson in there. A man called Samson who had God anointed him. God had said, Samson, you're going to be a great man. This is what I'm going to do with you. And Samson went on a dating exercise, and he found a woman through dating, outside of God's help. And the story of Samson was that at the end, everything that God planned for him went down the drain. Why? Because he dated using popular culture's approach. He liked the girl, and that was it. And he got involved with the girl, and all these things that I'm mentioning to you happened to him. He destroyed himself. So I'm going to stop there this morning. But what I want to leave us with today is this, which is point number 5. You might be saying, Pastor Benson, man, this is so serious. Are you saying we shouldn't date? Are you saying we shouldn't, you know, how about if I like someone and I want to do it in a way that is, I mean, what do I do? Pastor Benson, are you saying I shouldn't date forever? Oh my goodness, what are you saying? That's not what I'm saying. The fifth point I want to make tonight, this morning, is there is a way that we can do it. And that way is what I'll call God's way. And we'll look at that next week. Remember that I said that God is interested in us not being alone. So God's interested in that. And God has said, okay, there is a particular way that you can do it, so that one, you don't suffer heartache. Two, that you don't open yourself to sex before marriage, which can destroy your soul. And number three, so that your life is not just, doesn't end up wasted. Do you understand? God says there's a way you can do that. And we'll look at that next week. So this morning, we're just going to pray. And I'm going to ask us that we should rise. So we want to pray this morning. We want to pray for ourselves. We might want to pray for someone that we know, maybe a relative, a niece, a cousin. And they've been through like a really hard time in it, from a relationship perspective. And maybe now they're even saying, forget it. All men are useless, or all women are this. That's because they've just gone about it the wrong way. This morning, I want to pray that two things. That for the people who have been hurt by relationships, that they're carrying around heartbreak, and they do not even know that they're carrying around heartbreak. For people who maybe they felt used, it's like, this person used me. I will never, ever. We want to pray. The Bible says that God heals the brokenhearted. So we want to pray that everyone who has gone through any form of ache in their relationship, it might have even been years ago, you want to ask that God will bring healing to maybe even your own heart or the heart of someone you know. Because irrespective of what anyone has gone through, God says, it doesn't really matter. I can make amends. I can heal broken hearts. So this morning, let's just pray. We'll pray for ourselves that if there's any kind of brokenheartedness in us that we're not even aware of, that God should bring healing. For our friends, our family members, that God bring healing to their hearts and their souls in Jesus' name. Father, this morning we just want to thank you for your word. Father, we thank you because you're interested in our relationships. You're interested in the things that go on in our lives. Father, I'm praying for everyone who maybe has gone through some form of heartbreak, someone who has experienced any form of like emotional strain or pain. Lord, I ask that you bring healing in the name of Jesus. For those that we know who visibly we have seen that, oh, they've been in a relationship that has really impacted their lives to a place that it's negative. Father, we reach out to those people in our hearts, asking that you bring healing to them as well. Father, we also pray that you will help us to just go the way that you've outlined, so that even in the future, if we do make a choice, that Lord, you will guide that choice. Lord, that you will help us. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.